Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the consolidated first quarter 2009 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, press star then zero on your telephone keypad. Just to remind you all that this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson, Barbara Seidlova. Please begin your meeting, and I will be standing by.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter results conference call. It's my pleasure to have here Martin Novák, Chief Financial Officer, who will present the first part concerning the key events of the first quarter and the financial results. His presentation will be followed by the update on our trading position from Alan Svoboda, Executive Director, Sales and Trading. I'm handing over to Martin to start the presentation.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning and afternoon, everybody. Let me start with page number two, and I will tell you a few main highlights of our Q1 2009 results. Our EBITDA, adjusted for temporary effects, increased by about 7% or by 1.8 billion to 28.9 billion. When we actually add methodological and temporary effects, our EBITDA has reached 30.2 billion Czech crowns. What you will see in our reported earnings is 30.2 billion Czech crowns. Adjusted EBIT has increased by 9% or 1.9 billion Czech crowns to 23.5 billion. After we add those items that I will discuss later, we actually achieved reported earnings of 24.8 billion. Net income has grown by 9% to 17.2 billion Czech crowns or 19.4 billion, which is 23% quarter-on-quarter growth, which is fairly significant despite the recession that we can see all over the world, but also in our region. Return on assets has or on equity has increased to 27.4%. Share price closed at 857 crowns, so I think it was May 11th, which is Monday. ČEZ guidance for 2009 remains unchanged. Despite a very strong first quarter, we actually still, you know, are holding to our original guidance that we provided at the beginning of March of this year, with EBITDA to reach 90.3 billion Czech crowns and net income 50.2 billion Czech crowns. As usual, our first quarter is usually one of the strongest quarters, and that's the reason why you cannot just simply multiply, you know, first quarter by four and try to estimate our earnings. Expected results in 2009, which is next slide, you can see that there should be growth of 2% year-on-year in EBITDA, 1% in EBIT, and about 6% in net income. Main positive factors to repeat, it's actually increase in production of nuclear power plants as part of our efficiency improvement project of generating 15 TWh of electricity in Temelín and 16 TWh in Dukovany. Growth of generation from coal power plants due to low prices of CO2 allowances and better regulatory conditions abroad. Main risks, it's decreasing wholesale electricity prices, which only impacts our open position in 2009, which is fairly small. Power consumption dropping due to economic slowdown and deterioration of payment morale of our customers. All those effects are, however, already built in our guidance at fairly conservative levels. The situation would have to become much worse than estimated, you know, for us to feel really effects of it. Next slide, you can just see performance of our stock versus performance of PX, which is Prague Stock Exchange Index, and Bloomberg Utilities Index, especially compared to other utilities. ČEZ stock performs fairly reasonably during past, you know, 4 months or 4.5 months. basically closing higher than at the beginning of the year. Chess Group is successful abroad. So on the next slide, we would like to show you effects of our foreign acquisitions and how much we actually made on those acquisitions. All foreign acquisitions are permanently achieving planned returns. Cumulative profit achieved in 2009 is 9.7 billion Czech crowns, and it reached about one third of the amount we invested into acquisitions, which was about 31 billion Czech crowns. In 2009, in spite of continuing crisis, we would expect stable results abroad and further expansion of Chess Group through acquisitions. One of the acquisitions to mention is actually Mibrak, a German coal mining company, brown coal or lignite coal mining company just across the border from our coal mines in the Czech Republic, that we managed to buy at a very attractive price. Then Albanian distribution, and then Turkey, acquisition of assets in Turkey, both distribution company Sedash, and also acquisition of Ak Energy power generation company that we are now actually acquiring. Retrofitting of Czech power plants is progressing. First two units will start to operate within 2 months. So new unit in Ledvice, lignite unit 660 megawatts. It's actually it's actually continuing in accordance with our plans. Fabric of or administrative building is finished. Delivery track renovated. Chemical water works and part of coal handling is refurbished. So now actually substructure of boiler room and generator room is being built. Complex retrofit of Tušimice 2 power plant, which is 4 times 200 megawatts. We are now approaching final phase of cleaning operations of unit 23, and in 4 or 5 weeks it will be connected to the grid. Unit 24, first of cleaning operations, grease removal and pressure system, is actually going on. Complex retrofit of Prunéřov plant, which is next to Tušimice, 3 times 250 megawatts. We negotiate with suppliers according to conclude the contracts and agreements actually for that retrofit. Then two gas-fired projects, one in Počerady, replacing or being long-term replacing our coal-fired power plant in that location. So we submitted EIA, Environmental Impact Assessment, to Ministry of Environment, and preparation of documentation for final phase. Gas-fired power plant is in Mělník. It's actually, again, gas-fired power plant on one of our sites where we have a fairly old coal-fired power plant close to Prague. This plant not only would generate electricity, but also heat and supply heat to the city of Prague, which would be a very interesting project from synergy point of view between electricity and heat production. That's, I think, pretty much it. You know, I would leave two slides on campaigns for our customers to Alan Svoboda. So Alan will actually jump to those slides when he takes over after I finish the financial part of the presentation. So now let's go to slide number 10. Slide number 10 shows you the detail of our EBITDA, of our net income. Sorry, not net income, compared to first quarter of 2008. So compared to first quarter 2008, when we made 15.7 billion Czech crowns, we actually now made 19.4 billion Czech crowns, which is an increase of about 23%. Actually, we show you 9%, which is an increase to 17.2 of comparable items, but then we have a few items that are non-recurring or extraordinary, however you would call it. So quarter one was very successful. Electricity sales contracted in the electricity was contracted in 2008. Therefore, we are actually delivering increase in our gross margin of about 2.8 billion. 2.6 billion is coming from many factors. One of those is actually higher electricity prices, because a big part of 2009 volume was sold in 2008 when electricity prices were relatively high. So there is a year-on-year increase. We had a few changes, and this is basically described on the right side of the slide, that are adding to 17.2 another 2.2 billion Czech crowns. And this is actually higher income from CO2 allowances we released into earnings, our reserve, of about 900 million Czech crowns that you, or provision that you create at the end of each year for CO2 credits that you consumed at the end of the year. So at, in first quarter you normally release it into earnings, and in the fourth quarter you create a new provision or new reserve for 2009 consumption. So this is one of the effects. Then change in international reporting standards, financial reporting standards. Actually now the connection fee that we charge to our customers is charged to income as soon as we get the money in. Before it was actually split into 20 parts and we actually put it into income for 20 years. So this is a methodological change and it's 300 million Czech crowns impact in first quarter. And then price of MOL shares has increased between 1st of January and 31st of March this year, and therefore there is another 1 billion Czech crowns coming from share increase in share price of MOL. When you look at our gross margin on this chart, you can see that 2.6 billion is coming from mainly higher electricity prices, then 1.1 billion from CO2 allowances, offset by 900 million higher cost in fuel that is mainly brown coal or lignite that we purchase from external parties when the price of lignite is again partly connected to electricity prices, partly to inflation, and it's usually set before the end of the year when the prices of electricity were still relatively high versus this year. Therefore there is 900 million crowns higher cost of fuel. Despite of all that, we have 2.8 billion increase in gross margin. Then other operation expenses, 300 million negative, positive. Depreciation, 100 million negative, basically in line. And other expenses or income, 900 million positive. Income tax, 500 million negative because we have more higher income. This is what gets us to 19.4 billion Czech crowns. When we look at slide 11, there is a detail of our gross margin, and you can see actually details of those 2.8 billion Czech crowns, which is actually a breakdown of the orange column on the top of the graph, the orange column that on the chart on the previous slide, the middle orange column. So you can see that our revenues went up by 10%, our operating or variable operating costs by 13%, mainly driven by higher fuel costs. CO2 credits or CO2 allowances up significantly by 1 billion, again mainly by the reversal of or by the releasing reserve or provision into earnings. So 8% increase year on year. ČEZ Group manages to keep its operating cost under control. It's slide 12. That's I think very, very important slide. Our operating cost went down by 327 million year on year despite of the inflation. Salaries and wages are up only 1%, which is actually a result of our cost reduction initiatives. Other selected operating costs went down by 346 million Czech crowns or by 10% year on year. Repairs and maintenance a bit higher because we had a few plant shutdowns. A few more plant shutdowns in quarter one, 2009 versus 2008. And very important, I think, others, it's actually increased by 475 million, or sorry, reduction in cost by 475 million. And it's mainly coming from this fee that we now, or connection fee from our customers that now we actually book into earnings as soon as we get it versus when we actually versus deferring it over or splitting it over 20 years. Other expenses and income decreased by 900 million Czech crowns. Again, you can see the main results and the main variables. Interest on debt went up, compensated by interest income from free cash. Then we actually had foreign exchange gains of 750 million Czech crowns, and others profit before taxes then reaches about 23 or almost 24 billion Czech crowns, or difference of 4.1 billion Czech crowns. I think what that's actually where we get before taxes. Then income tax half a billion higher is a function of our higher earnings. So net income is 23% higher and reaches 19.4 billion Czech crowns. Next slide shows on page 14 shows us segmental contribution to EBITDA. Obviously, the first column is the strongest segment, which is generation and trading in Central Europe, which is Czech Republic and Poland, mainly Czech Republic, of course. There is an explanation to each of those columns provided in detail in the bottom of the slide. Just very briefly to mention, 11% increase in the segment of generation and trading is mainly caused by higher electricity prices. Distribution and supply in Central Europe, the increase of 26% mainly caused by change in the connection fee accounting. Mining, increase in mining by 17%, mainly coming from the fact that despite the decline in coal consumption of our power plants, the share of our own coal mines in consumption has actually increased. Then generation and trading in southeastern Europe, relatively large increase of 304%, but relatively small number, 100 million Czech crowns, is caused by our ability to run Varna power plant about 40% higher than first quarter 2008. Distribution and supply southeastern Europe 9% higher, and that's probably this is probably it. When you look at our balance sheet on page 15, our assets and liabilities went up to about 500 billion Czech crowns. With when we look at asset side, with property, plant, equipment staying flat, so we invested on the levels of depreciation. Other non-current assets staying flat as well. Current assets went up by about 20 billion Czech crowns. A few main factors: increase in cash. Then there is an increase in receivables connected to increase in receivables connected to electricity sales, mainly because of higher electricity prices. Deposits to escrow account in Turkey. And these are probably the main factors. On the liability side, our equity went up mainly due to increase in net income on our equity side. Then our liabilities, short-term liabilities, did not go up as much as current assets, mainly because we repaid a lot of liabilities during the first quarter. So let's look at slide 16. Showing you our cash flow. So our cash flow has not changed significantly quarter on quarter. The use of cash has changed significantly. So we generated about 2.1 billion Czech crowns of cash less compared to first quarter 2008, with 10.9 billion being invested, which is mainly CapEx, and leaving us 8.9 billion Czech crowns for further investments. This is a different situation to first quarter previous year, and it's not caused by the fact that we would invest significantly less into our renewal of plants portfolio and so on, but it's caused by the fact that in quarter 1, 2008, we actually bought shares of MOL at a price of 15.5 billion Czech crowns. So we basically stay flat quarter on quarter with our investment levels. So that's all for financial part, and now I would hand over to Alan Svoboda, who will take us through two remaining slides provided in the first part of presentation and the rest of the commercial presentation.
Okay, hello, good morning or good afternoon, everybody. This is Alan Svoboda, and as Martin said, I'll take you through the rest of the presentation. The two slides at the beginning of the presentation talk about our activities with regard to our customers. First of all, we introduced some products that allowed customers to confirm offtake of power already for next year and benefit from the currently prevailing prices on the market, which guarantee a 15% reduction in tariffs year on year. We had this product available until end of April. Now our customers again rely on a gradual purchasing of power for supplies of next year, and the price for those customers will be announced in November as we do every year. We just wanted to extend the range of options customers have, and those that decided to subscribe to this product have now guaranteed price for next year. We experienced interest in thousands of customers, so not a major impact on the overall, let's say, structure of our offtake. We also introduced several other amenities or benefits to our customers in the attempt to ease up the economic pressure on them. The most important one is our insurance that we provided to all customers, that if one member of the family loses a job, we will pay the bill for electricity for the next 3 months and give enough time to the family to find some new job again. This is done through an insurance company, and so far we again register several thousands of people that registered for this and qualified, and we believe this is a product that provides for higher loyalty of our customers, and it was actually perceived by media also very positively. Finally, we run a campaign where we provided some bonus of about 30 euros, i.e. 1,000 crowns, to customers that replace their old kitchen equipment, refrigerator and other white products with new that is more energy efficient, and this way we also help the local economy to spin a little more than without such incentives. Again, something that raised quite a bit of positive PR, and several thousand customers already used up this option, and we run this program until mid-June. So that's just what was left at the beginning of the presentation. If I can now move your attention to slide 18, which is the regular commercial part of the presentation. Here the slide shows the development of demand. You see that first quarter of this year is 3.6% lower than same quarter last year. If we adjust for temperature and for the number of working days and the like, we see a little higher drop, about 6.4%. On the chart below, you see that it was basically one-off correction that happened in November last year. And since then, the consumption pattern is more or less flat. The biggest reduction in offtake happened in the industrial customer segment, about minus 10%. The other two segments, households and small enterprises, actually experience even slight growth in nominal terms. Next slide shows our production results and plan for the rest of the year. If we compare first quarter of this year against first quarter of last year, we see some slight reduction in overall volume produced. This is mainly driven by the fact that we scheduled more repairs and maintenance work for first quarter of this year than we did last year. So there is some reduction in all production categories. On hydro, this is mainly because the snow was melting faster last year than this year. We still expect that our production will increase year on year if we take the whole year, mainly driven by increased availability of our nuclear plants, where the growth will be about 4%, which is about 1 terawatt hour. And also we will utilize more our coal fleet, where we see bigger opportunities because we will have a new plant again online, which is Tushimice, and also we see lower CO2 costs and therefore more attractive margins to utilize the plants more than last year. On next slide, you see the situation in our own coal supplies, Severočeské doly, which increased production year on year by 2.3%. If you look on the quarterly figures, on annual basis, we expect the increase to be even higher, 7.5%, which obviously drives up economics of Severočeské doly, since most of their costs are fixed. Therefore, increasing production by 7.5% means also healthy growth in profitability. Basically, the main reason for increase in production of Severočeské is increased share of the coal supplies from Severočeské in our fleet, where last year we took about 61% of our coal needs from SD. This year we plan this to grow to 64%, and we are phasing out to some degree supplies from the other two coal mining companies in the Czech Republic. On next chart, you see continuation of our so-called dripping strategy, that is sell-off of our own production to the wholesale market. You probably remember that we announced already last time that we have a very strong hedging position in place, that 50% of our volume, discretionary volume for next year, was already sold at a price of around 64 euros. Since then, prices became already attractive again. They are now above 50 euros. In the last few days, even close to 55 euros. So we started to sell power to the market again, with additional 5% now sold, and the prices achieved somewhere in the range of 50 to 54, 55 euros for this additional 5 volume. For 2011, we also started to sell on forward basis again to reduce the open position, and we will continue doing so since prices for 2011 are now reaching 60 euros, and that's a price at which we are already happy to lock in additional volume. We also experienced quite a bit of harmonization of rules across the region of Central Southeastern Europe, surprisingly happening in these times when some other countries call for tougher regulation. In our region, it was time of cancellation of some regulations that were against the EU directives, especially in Poland. It was cancellation of excise duty imposed on foreign transactions, imports and exports. In Slovakia, it was cancellation of so-called export fee. In Bulgaria, it was cancellation of law prohibiting local producers to export power if they don't have sufficient local offtake at the same time. So all that is a sign that these markets are becoming more harmonized and more transparent for traders and generators. On the next chart, you see that even though the markets are very volatile and supply-demand relationships are changing fast, that even in those times the markets are quite robust. We experience for about 2 months some widening of spreads between the Czech and the German market on short-term basis. But as you see, this was driven by additional hydro potential available for this period of time in the Balkan countries, basically more rain and more water in the hydro plants. And once this water runs through the rivers, this temporary disconnection of the markets healed up, so to say, again, and got connected through arbitrage opportunities tightly as it was before. And that should be the situation going forward, since we don't expect any additional major turbulence on the supply-demand relationships in the region. You also see on next page, page 24, that the forward curves for the German as well as for the Czech market, these are forward curves for the Czech market, show that the market expects that going forward prices will increase. 2011 is about 5 euro higher than 2010, and 2012 again additional 3-4 euros higher. These are prices from mid-April. Today, prices are even higher by 3-4 euros across the board. So it shows that not only there is a spread in between the years, but also there is a general upward sloping trend for those prices in general. And that's also why it triggered again our forward sales, as I said before. Then if we focus briefly on our strategy to sell to end users, as I mentioned, we announced a product with fixed price for 2010 based on power that we locked in at the market at times when it was very cheap. And even though our competition tried to announce similar products, we remain the cheapest provider of power to the households and small customers. And that proves that we are not misusing our dominant position. We are rather the opposite. We provide the most attractive offerings on the market. For customers that remain in our standard regime, we announced a specific sourcing strategy that was also approved by the regulatory office and group of independent advisor, the regulator, called together. And probably in this, we are one of the most transparent utilities in Europe because the whole purchasing process is monitored by public on the web, where we announced every month specifically how much volume we bought according to this methodology, at what price, and then we basically provide a weighted average for the price for the power already procured, and from that customers can gradually sharpen their expectation of what the final price for tariffs will be for 2010. As you see on chart 27, the fixed price provided in the special product is still more attractive than power the power that we were able to source on the market in April. Obviously, some customers decided to wait, hoping that prices will go down again. For others, it might mean that if they waited, this will result in actually a little higher tariffs than what we offered as the so-called fixed price. And on the remaining slides, you see some information about our Green Power, which is a program where we provide customers the ability to contribute some small amounts to a fund that is then matched by funds from us, and an independent committee is supporting or providing grants to non-profit projects in the area of renewables, especially R&D and education and publicity. And this program is already in its fourth year and has very strong public support. With that, I believe we are ready for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And if you wish to cancel a question, press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's the number 1 if you wish to register a question, and the hash or pound key if you wish to cancel. We'll take a short silence while questions are being registered. Our first question comes from the line of Chris Rogers. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody, or good evening. It's Chris Rogers at JP Morgan here. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, your guidance in absolute terms remains the same, but obviously we have this new style of reporting. Can you confirm that when you gave your guidance at the time of the full year numbers, you had in mind already this new reporting style, or is it that your underlying guidance, if you like, so to compare to the 87.2 billion of Czech crowns of underlying EBITDA for last year, has your underlying, if you like, old style guidance actually come down or not? Secondly, just to check I've got the numbers right, with an expectation of 63.5 terawatt hours for the full year, does that mean obviously 47.1 for the second, third, fourth quarter of this year, and therefore that second, third, and fourth quarter are actually going to be up 9.5% year on year? And if so, in that context, can you tell us a little bit about how April and May are going? And then finally, have you taken any provisions for bad debt so far? Thank you.
So I will answer, this is Martin Novak speaking. I will answer first and third question, and I will leave Alan with the consumption numbers, right? So the first one, you know, I would not really talk about style of reporting. To provide you explanation, really we wanted to take out of the earnings or to stress out the to stress out a few items that are something that will not necessarily repeat itself every quarter. And obviously one of the reasons is that our earnings went up by 23% quarter on quarter when everybody else in the economy is almost bankrupt. And I'm now exaggerating, but from PR point of view, it's not the best thing you can do that you will report absolutely dramatic jump in your earnings by 23% despite the recession. So we wanted to show that, you know, we are not that good, right? So I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
I do. Just to clarify, though, the 90.3 is, or the EBITDA for the full year, is on the assumption that these one-off items are not reversed later in the year. So in effect, they are added benefits.
Well, some of them are reversed. Some of them are reversed during the year. For example, 900 million release into earnings of the provision is now released into first quarter, but it will be created again towards the end of the year. So in fourth quarter, if CO2 regulation or CO2 credits stay at the same price level, and we will need a bit more than we consume, than we get for free, then we may create provision again. So that's, you know, something. Normally, if we were living in a normal circumstances, economic circumstances, we would probably not even point out these items. So this is just basically defending ourselves, saying that we really didn't make too much.
Well,
this presentation is not only for investors, but it's also for journalists who hear it, and therefore we, you know, try to explain those items in more detail. So I definitely wouldn't call it change in style of reporting. And 90.3 billion Czech crowns is something that is definitely that we are sticking to for 2009. You know, if there is any change in guidance, it will come after second quarter or third quarter, as it usually comes. Then we can see more. So this is first question. Third question was about...
We created any debt provisions.
Bad debt provisions. We really did not create much more debt, bad debt provisions because of, you know, our commodity that is fairly, you know, easy to stop supplying. So basically most of our customers pay prepayments. If they fail to prepay for the electricity, they are usually cut off. We usually cut off supplies before we deliver them electricity that could end up unpaid. So we really did not create too many of the bad debt provisions.
Okay, but just to be clear though, you did say that in your cash flow references that your trade receivables had gone up.
Yes.
Could you put some numbers around that, please?
They went up mainly due to higher electricity bills. So the electricity went up. The price of electricity is higher than it was in 2008, and therefore receivables are higher as well. So that's the main reason. We implemented one of those measures that Alan actually talked about, and it is a possibility for small businesses to defer one installment by 30 days. So this is another effect that is there, that a few businesses have actually decided that they would like to do it. And as part of the Chess Against Crisis program, they went for it. In total, in nominal terms, I think the increase in receivables, it's about 6 billion Czech crowns.
Okay, thank you.
And with regard to the generation numbers, the first quarter is not a surprise to us. It was actually planned to be like that because we really had some scheduled maintenance in a higher scope than we did last year for the same quarter. Therefore, yes, I confirm that the remaining three quarters will represent year-on-year increase even higher than this annual increase of 5% to make up for the drop in the first quarter. We see that the availability of our plants is actually above schedule so far, so less breakdowns and unexpected operating issues than expected in the budget. So we are on the good track to meet these figures. The only thing that is still open is the operating schedule for summer, where if prices will drop further than where they are today, because the short-term market is really long and all the traders or suppliers to end users are trying to offload the additional power they have that is now being off-taken by the end users. And then we have the ability to reduce the production in the off-peak hours or reduce production of some of the most expensive units, especially the hard coal units that, in fact, that's the only hard coal plant we have in our portfolio in the Czech Republic. That might mean some further reduction of several hundred of gigawatt hours, but nothing major to basically lead us to reduction of the whole production schedule for the year.
Okay, but for April and May, how's it been going? Have we seen any kind of rebound, or are we still kind of as the first quarter was?
No, there is a rebound because this is actually scheduled production plan. There are no, as I said, no operating issues that we face over and above the plan.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Gregor Kirstein. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Yes, hi, this is Gregor from Salopmine, Frankfurt. Alan, you mentioned the campaign for customers. What is the expected negative financial impact of this campaign on EBIT level from 2009 to 2012? On average per year. The second question, could you please again repeat the average realized price that you received achieved for 2009? And my last question is, what level of bad debt losses is already included in your guidance for 2009? Thank you.
Okay, the campaign has no major impact on our profitability. Because, for example, the insurance against loss of job was used so far only by several thousand customers, and so we pay just 3 months' bill for them. Also, the support for buying new household appliances is also in the amount of single million euros. So overall, these are things which provide some additional comfort to our customers, but don't really represent a major investment from our side. What I forgot to mention is also acceleration of investments on the generation and distribution side, where we want to provide more work for contractors, but this is done through acceleration of investments that we would make anyway, and we are just doing them sooner. And in some sense, this is even a rational thing to do, because the sooner the investment is made, the sooner it's also in the regulated asset base if it's in the distribution business. With regard to provisions,
I can actually provide information on if you want to.
Okay.
Also with accelerating investment, just to add to Ellen, it really is not a bad time to do it, because the prices of work and materials are fairly low due to recession. So we are definitely looking at the buyer's market these days. So it has a second effect that we will do those things cheaper than we would have done them when everything goes up. From bad debt point of view, in our plans, our estimate is 500 million Czech crowns of bad debt provisions, coming mainly from portfolio of our customers and all, both in the Czech Republic and abroad, including the big ones. That's a standard thing. And then we have 1.5 billion Czech crowns against failed company Moravia Energo that actually failed during first quarter of this year. However, they did not owe us any money for electricity, because as with most of the companies, we never deliver electricity before you pay us, so they have to pay us before we deliver. However, they went bankrupt, and therefore we terminated EFET contract. We actually calculated termination amount for potential loss between 2009, 10, and 11, which went up to 50 million euros after we received a significant part of the money from the banks. And those 50 million euros were put into earnings as a positive, and immediately we created bad debt provision of 50 million euros against it. So this is something that that is a termination amount from EFET contract, or money we might be losing by not delivering electricity at relatively higher prices to somebody who is not there to take it over 2009, 10, and 11. However, with electricity prices going up, we are selling this volume to other customers, to other electricity traders or power exchange, and the unrealized loss may be much smaller. So this is actually those are two items, but ordinary bad debt provisions about half a billion Czech crowns.
Okay. Last year, you ask about.
Last year, I think we booked something like above 300 million Czech crowns, with 300 million coming out of this, coming from one failed company, Glassworks, when basically entire glass manufacturing in the Czech Republic collapsed.
Okay. And last question was on the realized prices for this year. On 90% of the volume that was sold on forward basis, we achieved an average price of 62 euros. For the remaining 10%, in our guidance, we already revised the average price realized to about 40 euros, which is the overall average price for the rest of this year. For next year, we had about 64 euros on the 50% of the volume, and the additional 5% was sold in the range of 50 to 55, so it reduced the average by about 2% in total.
Okay. Just to get it right, you expect or your guidance is based on your assumptions that the open position of 10% you will achieve for an average price of 40 euros.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Christian Kleindienst. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Christian Kleindienst from UniCredit, Credit Research in Munich. I have two questions. The first one is on your guidance. Maybe you can tell us here whether the acquisition of Mibrag is included, and from which time onwards. And also, maybe you can give us some a CapEx guidance for this year and the guidance for the free cash flow. And the other question is on M&A and on these press rumors regarding the assets of international power in the Czech Republic. I think it was about a power plant in Opatovice and a stake in a heating company. And your name was mentioned among potential buyers. Maybe you want to comment on that.
So I will comment on Mibrag and maybe a little bit on international power. So Mibrag is not included in our plans, in our guidance.
Okay.
Mibrag, as you know, we are just now closing the transaction with the sellers.
Yeah.
We are 50% partner in that deal, buying Mibrag at something like a little bit above three times EBITDA, which we feel is a very good deal. It's a very good run, very well managed company, very well run. So. Have long-term contracts with their customers, so we are very happy with Mibrag acquisition. About projection on cash flow, I think
capex
is about 40 billion,
a little less than 50.
A little bit below 50 billion Czech crowns for 2009. Big part, I think, coming from Romania. Investing into building a wind farm in Romania, then of course retrofits of the power plant here in the Czech Republic. plus new build in Ledvice, which is a power plant in the Czech Republic as well. So that's, but it's about a little bit below 50 billion in total. And then about international power. International power, we are one of the companies that will have a look into data room. Obviously, when there are assets being sold in your proximity or as close as international power is, we definitely are interested in looking at this opportunity.
Are there any obstacles from the regulatory side, from antitrust authorities, for you that you cannot add further capacity to your existing domestic generation portfolio?
You know, Ellen, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I think it's not, you know, international power is really not that significant here. But, you know, so,
they have significant stake also in Prague heating business, and this is something where we don't have significant share,
anything,
so heating business is something that's interesting for us in this transaction.
And on free cash flow again, maybe you can just tell us verbally whether free cash flow might be neutral or positive, also whether operating cash flow matches dividends and the capex, roughly 50 billion.
So I think, you know, very roughly saying for 2009, with the dividend payout, and dividend was approved a couple of hours ago actually at a level of 50 crowns per share, and with all the investments we are actually making, I think we should be fairly close to zero this year, or maybe a little bit negative.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
And to remind participants, to ask a question, it's the number one on your telephone. And if you wish to cancel your question, press the hash or pound key. Our next question comes from the line of Peter Tordey. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Peter Tordey from KBC Securities, located in Budapest. Most of my questions were already answered. Just to follow up on the demand pattern in the Czech Republic, you have said in February that something like 5-6% increase in the generation volume should be expected. Could you please confirm this for us, that you still stick to this guidance? And maybe just a question also related to this topic, that do you see any signs of a demand recovery already in April and May? So how does it look like at the moment? That's all, thank you.
Okay, part of that, we already mentioned the presentation, demand is still down about 5-6%. We don't see strengthening yet. It would also be too early to derive that conclusion from just 1 month results. We need to see a longer trend before to make such a conclusion. On the other hand, demand reduction of 6% is not important to us because we sell to the whole region and we sell based on the prevailing prices, where 90% of the volume we sold on forward basis, 10% is something we optimize against the current prices. And because of the forward sales, we still stick to the announced production plan, which means a year-on-year increase of 5%. As I mentioned, in summer, if prices remain low or will go even lower than what are the forward rates for summer today, we might reduce production from the hard coal plant, which would reduce the volume by several hundred gigawatt hours, so might bring the 5% increase to maybe 4% increase, but generally we stick to this plan.
Thank you very much, that's all.
Our next question comes from the line of Julie Arav. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Yes, hi, Julie Arav from Natixis Securities in Paris. I have several questions. First of all, can you elaborate a little bit on your guidance, because it seems very cautious to me, given the good Q1 results, also the scope effects that we will see during 2009, and also the improvements that you mentioned in the regulatory conditions abroad. Second question. Regarding your efficiency target that you mentioned, during the 2008 results. Is it still confirmed for 2009, your target of 7.3 billion crown? And is it also possible to have a rough idea of the impact of the depreciation of the Czech crown versus euro on your trading activities in Central Europe? Thank you very much.
So it's quite a few questions. I will try to answer at least some of them. So the first question was on guidance. I already warned that it's really not the best idea to multiply very simply the first quarter by four and try to achieve full year results. Yes, we had a very good first quarter. However, there were a few effects that we have shown that may not repeat themselves. One of those was, for example, appreciation in stock price of MOL, which is something that you really cannot estimate very well. So we looked at the guidance really thoroughly and decided not to change it yet. Let's wait for second quarter results, and then if they are strong, we may actually consider about changing it. But really, we are just at the beginning of the year, and that's the reason why we are holding on our guidance. So that was the first question. Second question: improvements in our efficiency program. Yes, we still confirm the number around 7 billion Czech crowns. It's not only cost saving, and that's what we need to stress out, because this efficiency program, it has actually eight projects, and a few of them are actually revenue driven. So it's, for example, generating more nuclear electricity versus the previous year due to technical improvements on turbines. Actually, on 30th of April, we commissioned first 500 megawatt unit in Dukovany, where our output, we are improving or increasing our output from 460 per reactor to 500 megawatts per reactor. So not only cost cutting, which cost cutting is important and is very, very creative to this number, but also revenue generation.
Maybe depreciation I can announce, I can answer quickly.
Yep.
We have most of our trades in euros or driven by euro prices, even if we sell in Czech crowns. So basically all production plus most of the prop trading is done in euros or effectively in euros, and therefore if Czech crown depreciates, it means more Czech crowns for the same amount of euros, therefore higher profits. So in fact, depreciation of Czech crown is something we are not afraid of at all. In fact, it helps to boost profitability.
So actually, we are hedged, or what we do, we are hedging against appreciation of the currency, which we successfully did, and the example is 2008 when currency appreciated to 23 crowns per euro, but we were successfully hedged on much higher levels of 27, 28. So really the risk for us is appreciation of crown, not depreciation, because our sales are mainly in euros now.
Yes, okay, thanks. And sorry, last question, if I may. Regarding Turkey, the country will soon start calls to tender for privatization of other electricity networks. Do you plan to take part?
Well, I think, if I may answer, we will definitely look into Turkish market. Turkish market is very interesting for us for many reasons that we already repeated a few times. Young population, growth of output, need for electricity, not part of CEU, so no CO2 regulation. All those factors play in. So now with being actually embedded in Turkey with a distribution company and soon with power generation, we will be looking at assets in Turkey, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Alfred Reisenberger. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Yes, good afternoon. Alfred Reisenberger from Chevreux in Vienna. Most of my questions have already been asked and answered, so maybe one follow-up on this M&A question, which was just recently asked. Martin, if I remember correctly, you said about that you will set aside about 500 million euros for M&A for this year because you didn't do anything in 07 and 08. You spent about 100 million for the Albanian distribution company, so at least roughly 400 million. Where can we expect geographically that the money might be spent?
You know, I really don't remember that we would say how much money we would put aside. Maybe that's something that you normally put into your plans, and that's where it may be coming from.
Okay.
But normally, and that's what we said actually at press conference today in the morning when we got very similar question, we basically are ready to spend, you know, we are not limited by budget. We either spend because we budgeted to spend something, so we will spend it no matter what happens. On the other hand, if there is something that costs more, however, is very, very seems to be as a very good opportunity, we are happy to spend more, of course. So this is probably something like an average estimate of how much it could be. But I think 500 million euros, it's really SEDAŞ, which is distribution company in Turkey. So that's maybe where the number may be coming from, which is about, I think, $300 million, actually. So it's a little bit less than 300 million euros, 250 million euros maybe. And then Mibrak, which is another 200 million euros. So those money are already locked in. Albania is about 100 million euros. And then whatever else comes during the year, you know, if we feel it's a good opportunity, like, for example, Mibrak was, when you buy something at 3x annual EBITDA or cash flow or whatever, however you call it, then we are really happy to go after it.
And are you more interested in production or distribution assets, or it doesn't matter?
We are interested really in power generation and distribution. So both, really NPV is what makes sense. The region, which means Central and Southeastern Europe or target area. So no Ukraine, no Russia, as we said already. Basically our home region of Central and Southeastern Europe, but both power generation and distribution assets.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Luis Amusategui. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Luis Amusategui from Cygnus Asset Management in Madrid. I just had a question in relation to mining. If you could give us some idea of how should we expect your unitary revenues to evolve over time as commodities change? Because I see they're still increasing. Is this because of the time lag, or do you still see this going forward this way?
Are you talking about cost of purchasing coal on our side, or
I'm
revenues of Severočeske?
I'm talking at the revenues in the mining division. How do you expect that to evolve on a unitary basis?
Well, we are the almost 80% off-taker of the coal from Severočeske, so basically if you consider the results of the group, you should only look at the cost structure of mining the coal within Severočeske, where most of the cost is fixed and only about 15-20% is variable. So that means the more we increase production and utilization of the coal, the more we make.
How about for the external sales?
For the external, is basically the coal price is linked to weighted average of inflation and development of power prices. Last year we had strong inflation, and on forward basis the power prices were not yet very affected by the weakening of the economy. This year these two factors are going to be low inflation and in fact negative trend in the forward rates. So for that volume we might see some stagnation of unitary profits or even slight correction.
Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from the line of Mattia Gergely. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. It's Mattia Gergely from Goldman Sachs. I will limit myself to three questions, but the first one, you had today an AGM. If Could you tell us what is your latest thinking and latest status of the potential share buyback? Secondly, you gave some CapEx guidance for the year of under 50 billion. If I recall correctly, like in October when you had the Capital Markets Day, you were guiding for an 09 CapEx a bit above 50 billion, and also for 010 closer to 60. Now, is there any, I would have expected an acceleration of the CapEx, because you said that you were also bringing forward some plans. Is there any reason why the CapEx is now lower? Were you able to achieve better prices than what you were expecting? And the last question is really a bit of a clarification on your slides 28, 29. I must say I didn't quite understand what is this green energy fund and what is the relevance for CEZ. It looks like a big number, 8.6 billion Czech crowns, but who pays for what, and where does the money go? Does CEZ get any of it? Thank you.
I will answer, Matija, hello, I will answer the question of share buyback. So actually today we had a shareholder meeting with that actually where we did not propose any share buyback mandate to go forward. Basically, our share buyback mandate that we got last year is valid until 21st of November 2009, so almost by the end of this year. Next shareholder meeting would probably be again April, May. So if we decide to go for share buyback, there is only about 5 months or 4 months window where we would not be able to do it. Therefore, we really decided we are not going to submit the material to the point on the agenda because we really have enough flexibility. And moreover, the main reason was that we can see quite a lot of opportunities on investment side, M&A side. So that's question one. Question second question regarding CapEx. Very good question. The main reason between the information on Capital Markets Day and today is that actually on Capital Markets Day we included MOL project into CapEx, but MOL project will not be consolidated on a standard consolidation way, full consolidation. It will be consolidated as because we have a 50-50 JV, so we will consolidate it on equity basis, equity method of consolidation. So really just booking earnings from the project, and therefore we don't show it in consolidated CapEx numbers, so it's excluding MOL. So no.
GATSCO also, isn't it, Martin?
Pardon?
Isn't GATSCO also the difference?
GATSCO isn't the difference, no. So that's the reason.
It is the MOL power plants.
It's the MOL power plants, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And then the last question, I think it's not really 8.6 billion, it's 8.6 million.
Oh, okay.
There's a big typo there on both pages. In fact, it's negligible from the business perspective. It's just something that creates a lot of traction around the environmental discussion in the Czech Republic.
So again, I would say this slide at the end is more towards the general public. And yes, 8.6 million, which is like 300,000 euros, is probably not the highest amount. And, 300 million euros would have been bigger, I agree.
Okay.
It's worth asking them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Bram Buring. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Hi, Bram Buring, Wood & Company. Most of my questions have been answered as well. I have a couple of follow-up questions, please. On your coal cost, you said that there was a high benchmark in terms of inflation and power prices when the price was set at the end of last year. Does this adjust on a quarterly basis, or is the high benchmark going to last for the rest of the year? Not to beat this one too much, but again, your guidance for 2009, can you tell me, can you confirm, does it include or not the positive reval of MOL stake in this period, and does it include the write back of the CO2 provisions, but not creation of more provisions at the end of the year? And the last question is, could you please tell me what's your average hedged price for next year for the 15 terawatt hours for tariff customers is at this point?
So I'll answer those first few questions. First question was on cost of coal. So usually the cost of coal is set for the year, so it's set at the end of the year for the following year. So we would not expect that the cost of coal would decline in second, third, or fourth quarter. Okay. That's the first question. Second question was
revaluation
of MOL. It's not included in our guidance. So you know, if there is any significant move of the stock upwards, we would probably see it as a positive you know, change in our guidance. Mm-hmm. And third question was average achieved price of 15 terawatts, and that's probably on for Alan.
Yes, for this year, it's these are tariffs announced in November last year, and they are equivalent of the 62 euros as it, for the general average.
Mm-hmm.
For next year, we are still buying this power or locking in this volume gradually, month by month. If we extrapolate the figures we see now prevailing on the market, I would say we would end up around 52 to 55 euros. But it's still to be seen how the market will evolve between now and November.
Well, you've sold, what, roughly 20% of this already, or hedged roughly 20% of this position already?
That's the chart in the presentation showing this. It's on page 27, mm-hmm. where you see it actually in Czech crowns, baseload equivalent prices. We locked in, let's say, 3/8 of the volume, mm-hmm. and you see the first three tranches listed there, and then you can also track it by looking at our webpage every month.
Okay, so that is the, that reflects
yep.
that. Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Christopher Copeland. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's Chris Cooper here at Credit Suisse in London. Just one question to confirm. First off, the 1.5 billion impact from the Moravia bankruptcy, just wondered whether you could confirm that you have taken a 1.5 billion provision in these Q1 numbers. The second question refers to your commentary about how much of a political impact your guidance has. And I was wondering whether you believe this will be used as an interesting item in the upcoming election in October, and how you view your positioning as a company, as a 70% state-owned company.
So first question was related to
provision.
Yes, there is full 100% provision, but again, that's not. It's a bit different type of the deal, you know, because normally when you take bad debt provision. That's usually because you delivered something, but you didn't get paid for it, and then you take a provision. In case of termination of EFET agreement, you actually calculate the possible potential loss that you may incur over following 3 years based on what you know about current market prices. So it's kind of unrealized profit that you would have normally realized if Moravia Energo was still alive. So you actually issue them an invoice that you book into earnings 1.5 billion, and immediately, because they are bankrupt, you create a bad debt provision. So it's an earnings neutral situation.
Understood. Thank you.
Then, you know, Czech state or somebody picking up the agenda of high profits. Of course, you know, there are people talking about high profits, and that's I think something that is very similar to many other utilities these days in Europe. And even the U.S., which are, you know, stable businesses, and with prices of electricity in 2008 where they were, and 2009 contracts being actually sold in 2008, obviously there is a lot of pressure. However, we really don't see realistic that there will be some extraordinary pressure on us, because on the other hand, state realizes that there is plenty, you know, they own 70%, but there is 30% owned by somebody else, so they cannot really behave as if they own the company themselves. There is a very good proof of what I'm saying today. There were actually political voices trying to ride the wave of the high earnings that wanted us to pay 100% dividend. Actually 56% dividend was approved today, with state not really being subject to those, I would say, populistic ideas. So, you know, state behaves rationally in this respect.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Teresa Schinwald. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Good afternoon, this is Teresa from Raiffeisen in Vienna. I want just to follow up on your stable demand supply situation in SEE. Could you elaborate on the volume development differences between Romania and Bulgaria that you reported?
What specifically you refer to, sorry?
I refer to the increases in the Bulgarian consumption and the decreases in Romania that you stated in your report.
I think one of the very important effects in Bulgaria is the gas crisis. Unlike other countries in Europe who either had their significant gas reserves or they had an alternative source of gas, Bulgaria was left absolutely naked in that situation. So the only way how to really heat up during January households was through electricity supply. So one big effect in Bulgaria is actually driven by no gas being delivered in January to Bulgaria. So there was bigger consumption of electricity to replace gas. Very important factor. And second factor is that in Bulgaria, we really are serving mainly households. We don't serve the big industrial customers that much. So we don't see the decline in consumption that is driven by recession in Bulgaria, because households are fairly immune versus the recession in terms of consumption of electricity.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Martin Verdet. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company and location.
Hi, good evening, everybody. It's Martin Verdet, Platts in London. On slide 7, you listed some investments in various power plant projects. I've got a couple of questions relating to that. One with regard to Tuzemice, the retrofit. Will that result in increased unit capacity, production, and efficiency?
I don't think it's actually increasing capacity. I think it was 4 times 200 megawatts before retrofit. But it's a higher efficiency, for sure. I think efficiency is increasing from something like 32% to something like 38%, or above 38%. And obviously, it's cleaner from CO2 perspective as well.
Okay. You also mentioned, previously, several years ago, there was discussion of building a 660 megawatt coal-fired unit at Pozzerazzi. Is that something you're still considering?
We are, you know, now in Pozzerazzi, we are actually looking at gas-fired unit, and 660 megawatt coal unit is still a possibility on top of the gas unit. It really depends on the coal supply.
Okay.
So it's still, I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay. You mentioned or you announced recently plans to build a third CCGT plant in Melnik by 2015 as part of your plans to rebalance your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me some sort of idea of the proportion of nuclear, coal, hydro and gas in your generation portfolio by say 2015?
No, I think the best idea would be, and now I would have to speak by my, you know, from my head, but if you look at our investors' presentation or investors' web page, there is an investors' presentation and there is a chart, very detailed chart on how our portfolio would look like in 2015 and 2020. Very roughly speaking, I think coal would be about 20%, roughly, terawatt hours, guess about 30, and nuclear about 30. 50. So 20, 30, 50.
Okay. And finally, with regard to, you discussed obviously a lot about investing substantial money in developing new renewables in the Czech Republic. I don't see any mention of that now. Has that been a change in your strategy to invest in wind, for example, in Romania and other markets, and not so much in the Czech Republic?
Well, I think it's just the opposite. In fact, we strengthened the environmental team within Chess Group, and they are now following up on many opportunities in the Czech Republic. There are just some natural limits to what we can achieve in the Czech Republic vis-a-vis countries like Poland or Romania or Bulgaria, because the wind conditions here are not ideal. So it's hard to compete with the 650 megawatt project that we acquired in Romania in the Czech Republic. But we are interested in renewables across the whole region, wherever there is reasonable regulation to provide us with good returns on the project.
Okay, so you'd be looking perhaps more at biomass than wind in the Czech Republic?
We look at both, biomass, wind, also some solar projects, but biomass is mostly linked to our current plans. That means co-burning of biomass and coal. That is our major source of renewable energy today, and wind should come on top.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions registered. I will hand the conference back to you.
So thank you everyone for participation, and if some more questions come to your mind, just contact myself on Investor Relations. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.